Our Father and our God, this morning we are grateful for the blessing of life. One more day, Lord God, thou indeed has made a way. And thou hast brought us together here to study, to show ourselves approved. Holy Father, may thou now take glory as thy word is declared. I pray this prayer in the matchless name of our Savior, our Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving. Amen. There are a few words in the English language that I believe requires little to no explanation. Examples of those words are words like fear and anxiety. When a person says he or she is fearful or anxious, you don't have to run to the dictionary to find out what that means. On the contrary, we instantly know what they mean when they say they're fearful. In other words, they are emotionally or mentally unsettled. And unfortunately, our modern world is littered with people who are emotionally and mentally unsettled. Those who are held captive by fear and anxiety. Now, from the world's perspective, such fear and anxiety might be deemed justifiable considering the fact that we're living in challenging times. You know, the upsurge in crime, mass shootings, the pandemic, climate change, war, economic hardship, all this have formed what I call a perfect melting pot for the breeding of fear and anxiety. And in such climate, some believe fear and anxiety are justifiable and inevitable. But you know, while we cannot dismiss the fact that we are living in challenging times, however, for a Christian, acquiescing to fear and anxiety is not an option. For one singular reason, who is with us? God. You know, the Apostle Paul puts it well when he wrote, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Put it differently. Since God is with us, what is there to fear? You know, what is there to be anxious about? You know, perhaps these were the questions that was on the mind of the psalmist when he composed Psalm 46. A psalm that reminds us that acquiescing to fear and anxiety is not an option for you as a Christian. And this morning, this is what brings me to this portion of Scripture. So, let's go to Psalm 46. From the superscription of this psalm, we see that it's ascribed to the pen of the sons of Korah. Then the question is this, who are the sons of Korah? You know, during the reign of King David, some of the sons of Korah were actually gatekeepers of the tabernacle. Others actually rendered the service of songs in the tabernacle. You know, it is believed that the latter, those who rendered the songs in the tabernacle, were those who composed the psalm. And of the 150 psalm that we have in the Bible, 11 is actually attributed to the sons of Korah. Now, from the onset of the psalm, there is a uniqueness about it. You know, I want you to pay attention to this first verse. It does not begin with some form of lamentation. Rather, it begins by the expression of confidence in God. Put differently, it did not begin with the problem, but with the solution, God. Watch verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, this literal device that is often employed by some of the psalmists, beginning the psalm with God, always reminds us of the importance of having what I call a Christ-centered mindset in everything in life. You know, the Lord Jesus reminded us of this. He said, in this world, we shall have tribulation. John chapter 16, verse 33. What that means is that in this world, there will be storms, and storms will come into our experiences. But you know, when we don't approach life with a Christ-centered mindset, that means that our focus will be distorted. Right, we'll be focusing on the problem rather than the solution, which will ultimately lead to fear and anxiety. But now, when we take our clue from the psalmist here, and we begin to approach life, everything in life, by putting God first, by making God the preeminence, by having the confidence in God, expressing it, then we will begin to discover that fear will no longer have grip on our lives, because we today are living our lives in the confidence of God, knowing that God, who is in control, is the one that is orchestrating everything in our lives. This is essentially what it means to have a Christ-centered mindset. And I believe this is what the psalmists are trying to remind us every time we come across the psalm that begins with God. In other words, they begin with God. They begin with their confidence and the expression of their reliance on God. When you begin everything in life with that mentality, when you have what I call a Christ-centered mindset, that you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is to fall on your knees and pray and put God first and express your reliance upon Him, that sets the pace for your day. That no matter what problem comes your way, you are victorious already, because God has been put first. So from this, we see what the psalmist does. He goes ahead and says, God, Elohim. Then what he goes for to do here is very interesting, because he now reminds us of two very important attributes of God. I want you to pay attention again to verse 1. He said, God is our refuge and our strength. Let's stop there for a minute, everybody. The first thing we see here is the word refuge. You know, the word in the Hebrew refuge is the word machaket, which simply translated means a place of shelter or a place of trust. Pay attention to that very well. So I believe what the psalmist is trying to say here at the onset is this, that God is a place of shelter that we can run to for safety when the storms of life are raging. Pay attention to me this morning, that God is a place of shelter that we can run to for safety when the storms of life are raging. The best illustration of this can actually be seen in the relationship between the mother hen and her chicks. Watch this for a minute, everybody. When the mother hen sees an animal that's approaching her chicks, she makes a unique noise. We call that she clucks to warn her baby chicks of the approaching animal. So what the baby chick does is that as soon as they hear their mother, they run quickly under the wings of their mother for safety. And the mother hen now keeps a chick under her wings, covers them on their wings till the danger passes over. The same is what the psalmist is trying to say about God being a refuge. You know, as a place of shelter, as a refuge, God covers us with His own wings. Metaphorically, God covers us with His protective grace. God covers us with His protective mercy from the danger, the lock that we don't see, from the evil that's crawling about that we don't know. It covers us. That is why when you turn to Psalm 91, verse 4, the psalmist will write, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." So what the psalmist is saying here, as God as our refuge, is the same thing the psalmist is saying in Psalm 91, verse 4, that God is our refuge, and it's under his feathers, under his wings, that we are able to find refuge. And this morning, I truly believe this is one of the antidote to fear. That you are able to understand that when issues come in life, that you can run for safety under the feathers, under the wings of our great God. But I want you to watch the second thing that Simon said. God is not only our refuge, he says God is also our strength. Now, the Hebrew word translated strength here is a very simple word. It's what A-Z, what we call A-Z. That's how it's spelled in the English. Literally, it means being strong and mighty. In other words, God is not only our place of shelter. God is also strong and mighty. And as Psalm 24 would teach us, he's mighty in battle. In essence, God is not a pushover. You know, God cannot be bullied. God is able not only to protect you, to cover you, but is mighty and strong. He's able to protect you to the uttermost. When God stands, nobody can bully God. When God declares that you belong to him, nothing can hinder that. Nobody, no devil in hell can come against you, because God's covering is always perfect over his people. God's covering is unmovable. God's covering is the covering that is eternal in nature, and his power is endless. And this is what the psalmist is trying to say. And I believe the reformer, Martin Luther, captures the meaning of this word strength when he wrote in the hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. God is a fortification that never fails. He is strong and he is mighty. He is the God who cannot be defeated." And that is who you are running under shelter. This morning, my question to you is this: are you in that place of shelter of God? Then I want you to watch this. The same verse 1, the psalmist now continues. He said, "He's also our very present help in trouble." Now, there is a unique word order in the Hebrew in this sentence. Here is how the literal Hebrew actually reads: help in trouble coming quickly or speedily. Watch that word order. Help in trouble coming quickly or speedily. I believe what that means is very simple. You don't have to dial 911 for God to come to your rescue. Stay with me this morning, everybody. You don't have to dial 911 for God to come to your rescue. But God is there before you know it. God is available. That's the key word. God is available to help you before you call upon him. Before you even look for God, God is there, because God already knows the strategy of the enemy. God already knows what the enemy is planning before he actually launches his attack. So he is always a very present help. He is always a very present help in time of trouble. That means in the time that we're living now, that trouble might be to your left or to your right, God is already present. He is speedy. He is coming quickly. You don't have to dial him. He is there watching over you, covering you, protecting you. Again, you see, this to me, I believe, is one verse that you can make your life verse. your life verse. In other words, it's a verse that I believe can speak to you in a very special way, especially if you're struggling with fear and anxiety. You know, meditating on this one verse daily, I believe will release in your heart, will release into your soul peace and encouragement that you can be able to weather the storms of life. Then we go to verse 2 here. Then the psalmist said, therefore, we will not fear. You know, like David, if you go back to Psalm 27, David will say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? And the same thing the psalmist said here. He said, therefore, we will not fear. You know, what both David and the son of Korah are saying is this. Since you have the all-powerful, the almighty God on your side, what is there for you to fear? You know, when you go to the New Testament and you read the narrative of the apostles in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told in that narrative that there was a huge storm that rose around the Sea of Galilee, and the boat water was entering into the boat and it was sinking, and the disciples, Peter, Andrew, John, and James, they were professional fishermen. They've been fishing around the Sea of Galilee for a while, but this was an extraordinary storm that was coming into that boat, and they were trying the best they could to stabilize this boat. And meanwhile, the Lord Jesus was sleeping at the stern. And when they found out that they could not stabilize this boat, what they did was that they woke the Lord Jesus up and said, get up, don't you care that we're perishing? You remember that narrative? Don't you care, Lord, that we're perishing? And we're told that the Lord rose from his sleep and spoke to the sea, hush, be still, and the storm died. But the implication of that narrative is this. There is a unique dichotomy between the faith expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ and the faith expressed by the disciples. On one hand, the disciples were gripped with fear, were gripped with anxiety when the storm came. But on the flip side, the Lord Jesus was asleep in the middle of the storm. The question was that how could the Lord Jesus sleep? Because he knew that he was God of all nature, but also he knew and he had a faith. He understood who was in control. That is why when the Lord Jesus rebuked the sea, he was able to turn to his disciples and told them, you of little faith, why are you so timid? Why are you so fearful? You see the unique dichotomy between those two experiences. What that reminds us of this is this. No matter the storm, when you understand that God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble, you can sleep through your storms. You can sleep through your trials. You can sleep through your adversity. Like Peter was able to sleep in prison, that the angel had to wake him up because he could sleep because he understood who was in control. And this morning, I challenge you, loved ones, in the midst of the difficult times that we're living, you got to understand that God is still on his throne. God has not been dethroned. God has not been overthrown. God has not been impeached. He is still God of the universe, and he's your God, and he's watching over you. That is why you can be fearful, but be bold and be courageous, and you can go through your life with faith, with joy, knowing that the joy of the Lord is indeed your strength. And I believe this morning, if every one of us were to really understand deeply who God is and his mighty power, all of us will be able to sleep through our trials because God's got it under control. Now watch what the psalmist would do again, everybody. Begins in verse 2 also. Psalmist goes now to present what I call the worst case scenarios. You know, the worst case scenarios, he went into the notion of natural catastrophes. And I want you to pay attention to this. Watch what he says right here. Beginning of verse 2, he said, that though the mountain slip into the heart of the sea, that though its water roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose stream makes glad the city of God, the holy places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Let me break this down for you. You know, what the psalmist is saying is this. Even if the fury of nature is displayed, today we see twisters, we see tornadoes. At times we see hurricane rises. We see flooding all around the world. We see drought. We see the wrath of nature. What the psalmist is saying is this. Even when all those things happen, the wrath of nature rises and cause great catastrophe around you, your God is still greater. Your God is still more powerful. Your God is going to sustain you like a river that is peaceful. He's going to undergird you. He's going to hold you strong. He's going to keep you in the perfect peace. He's going to watch. In other words, the fury of nature is a drop in the ocean compared to the greatness of your God. Do you believe that? I'm not discounting the problems and the pain that is caused by natural catastrophes. But I'm saying to you that in the midst of it, God is still your sustainer. God is still your refuge. He is still going to, the wrath of nature cannot hinder the world, the love of God and the power of God in your life. And this is what the psalmist is saying. And the psalmist goes forward to say, listen, there is a river. And in this case, it's talking about the city of Jerusalem. He said, listen, there's a river that flows and the whole holy dwelling place of the Lord. God is in the midst of this and she will not be moved. God will help you. You know, God did not promise us that there won't be no trouble in life. God has not promised us in his word, and don't let nobody tell you that. God did not promise you that you will go through this life without trial. But God said, I will be with you. I will be your help. I will be your Ebenezer. I will be your stone of help. And this morning, if there is one thing you need to hear, in such a time like this, in a time where we got fluctuating economic indicators, when we are inflation today, recession tomorrow, when we are going through wars and rumors of wars, you need to understand that your God is your helper. Your God is your shield on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, the moon by night. God will keep you going and coming from this day forth and forevermore, says the psalmist. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Verse 6. From the notion of the natural catastrophe, the psalmist now turns to the notion of man's evil. Watch it. It goes for them verse. It said, the nation made an uproar. In other words, even when the nation makes an uproar, even when the kingdoms will tuttle, he said, listen, God raised his voice and the earth melted. You know, I tended to you this morning, no evil of man can hinder God's power from keeping you. You know, I tell you what, no matter how much man and nation rages, no matter how much insecurity we see in our world, no matter how much evil raises his ugly head, that can never hinder the power of God. It can never hinder the help that God provides for you. God's word alone will melt, metaphorically, this world. God's power alone will melt the enemy. No enemy can stand before God in his power because he is the God of all strength and the God was mighty in battle. Then I want you to watch what it says here in verse 7. It said, the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth, is our help. It said, he's with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Again, pay attention to that. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now, if you like to underline verses in your Bible, this is the verse you can underline and just put in, imagine, the greatest promise in the Bible. Watch what I just said. Underline verse 7 and say to yourself, under imagine, put the greatest promise in the Bible. Do you realize that the greatest promise God gave us is this promise? I will be with you. Promise that God gave us, that God is with us. That is the greatest promise in the Bible. Now, let's go to 2 Kings this morning. I want you to see the outworking of this promise in 2 Kings. You know, in 2 Kings, we read about Elisha, the prophet. And we're told that the king of Aram will send armies, 2 Kings chapter 6, beginning at verse 15, around verse 14, send armies to go capture this prophet of God in Israel. And we're told that great armies actually came and surrounded the house of Elisha, the prophet, because they wanted to capture him and take him to the neighboring country, because the king of that neighboring country wanted Elisha captured. And we're told that the servant of the man of God, of the prophet, woke up in the morning and he looked out, presumably out of the window, and he saw the armies of the king of Aram surrounding that city, surrounding the house of the prophet. And he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. But then Elisha woke up, and Elisha said to him, "Do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." I want to pay attention to that verse. He said, listen, don't fear. He said, listen, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then he prayed. And he prayed that the Lord will open the eyes of his servant. And the Lord answered his prayer. And when the Lord opened the eyes of his servant, behold, we're told that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Do you see that, loved ones? You see what this is saying? That while with the physical eye, the servant of Elisha saw the danger. While with the physical eye, he saw the armies of this country coming against them. But in the spiritual eye that God granted to him through the prayer of Elisha, he was able to see that there were greater armies. There were armies of God. There were chariots of fire that was surrounding Elisha. There were chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is what it means, loved ones, for God to be with us. Listen, in this world, you will see with your physical eye danger. You will see adversity with your physical eye. You will see danger with your physical eye. But I guarantee you this morning that the angel of the Lord encamp around those who love him. Because we read in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, that angels are ministering spirits sent out to minister to the ears of salvation. And if you are saved today, you are ears of salvation. And this morning I'm here to tender to you that God is with us means that God is not only present in his omnipresence, but God's angels will surround you. God's angels will keep you. That is why you can be fearful. Yes, you don't see them, but I believe they're here. They're watching, they're keeping, because God has said in his word, his angel encamp around those who fear God. Encamp around them. So this morning, why are you fearful? God is with you. God is with us. That is why we can be bold and we can be courageous and stand strong and stand tall and don't fall, because we know we serve a God who never sleeps nor slumber, but his angels in their innumerable numbers, they have you covered. Listen to me, loved ones. This promise of God is the greatest of all promise. And the Lord Jesus gave us the similar promise in Matthew chapter 28 to the last verse, verse 20. He said to us, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of time." The Lord Jesus also, loved ones, he's with us always, even until the end of time. And watch this now. The psalmist now goes and continue to invite his audience to see God's track record. Watch it. Watch verse 8. It said, come behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth, who makes war to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bowl and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. I like that verse 8 and verse 9, because what the psalmist is doing here is inviting the people to come. He said, come and see the track record of our God. I need to tender this to you this morning. I don't want to spiritualize this verse, but this is the key, loved ones. You know, cognitively at times, you can understand what Pastor Wallace is saying here. Don't fear, that's great. But, you know, you can still struggle with fear. But what the psalmist is saying, he said, every time you still struggle with fear, look at God's track record. Look at God's track record. You know, you can take a survey of your life and look at what God has done throughout your life. See how God has moved in impossible situation. See how God moved when you were sick in the hospital. See how God moved when you were in college, you didn't know your way out and God took you through. See how God moved when you were unemployed and God opened the door. See how God moved when you had no food on your table and God supplied you food. See how God moved to preserve you from danger. See how God, you know, at times when you look at the track record of God, you will be able to understand that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, what God did yesterday, he can do for you today, and he can also do for you tomorrow. That is why one songwriter will say, when I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed because I got a testimony. And the reason she said that in that song was because she understood that looking back over your life, looking at the track record of God, will give us the courage to understand that this too shall pass. Again, listen to me, loved ones. This too shall pass. Then we come to verse 10. This is my verse this morning. And the verse 10 now moves from the third person to the first person. God himself now speaks through this sons of Korah directly in verse 10. It says, cease striving. You know, the King James Version actually puts it very well. It said, be still and know that I am God. You know, that's a powerful verse right here, everybody. Be still, hush, and know that I am God. You might say, Pastor Wally, wait a minute. What does this phrase mean? Be still, cease from striving. What exactly is God trying to say here? Is God telling me just to be idle and just sit around and don't go to an interview and just wait for the job to come to me? Absolutely not. That is not what this verse is saying. What this verse means is this. Take off your anxiety. Take away your fear. Drop it. Cast it on Jesus. Like James would, like Peter will tell us, casting all your cares upon him. We got to cast everything upon him. Then guess what? You go by your regular daily job. You go by your regular daily duty. In other words, you go for it. You don't worry about it. That is what God is trying to say here, be still. In other words, don't carry that weight no more. Cast it onto Jesus. And guess what? You begin to go your jolly way. Don't worry about what that interview is going to turn out to be. You just cast that fear to God and go to that interview. You be still and let God do the fighting for you. You be still and let God give you the victory. And you can go to the story of Jehoshaphat in second Chronicles, and you can see Jehoshaphat facing this host of army, and he called the country to a fast, and after a fast he called them to an assembly of prayer, and while they were praying, the prophet now spoke. He reminded Jehoshaphat. He said, listen, I need to tell you something. Thus says the Lord, the battle is not yours, but the battle is mine. That is what it means to be still. And he's telling Jehoshaphat, listen, I want you to go to that battlefield, not with the army, but I want you to go with the choir, because I'm I'm going to give you the victory. That is what it means to be still and know that God is God. And this morning, I'm telling you, loved ones, that the battle is never yours. The battle belongs to God. And you have to learn how to be still. You have to learn how not to bite your fingernails and just stay up all night trying to figure out you're going to fix it. You have to learn how not to fear. You got to learn how not to be anxious for nothing, but cast it onto Jesus and just be still. Let God work it out for you. I say to you, why are you trying to figure out how God has already worked it out? That is why, as a believer, you got to understand that the victory belongs to God. No matter what the enemy tried to do, you can stand still and stand strong. This morning, I say to you, chill out. Pastor Wally, what do you mean? Chill out. Stop biting your nails. Chill out. Stop losing your air. Chill out. Trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not onto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and He will direct your path. He will give you the victory. He will give you the victory. That is exactly what the psalmist is trying to tell us here. Because God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Guess what? Chill out. This morning, I'm encouraging you, loved ones. Don't buy the bait. Don't be anxious for nothing. Commit it to the Lord. Cast it unto the Lord. And the psalmist will close here by saying what he said already in verse 7. He said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This morning, loved ones, I challenge you. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, the victory belongs to God. You take your stand. After you've done all that you can, stand and watch God move on your behalf. And perhaps this morning, God is already moving on one of you, in some of your heart, in some of your souls, or in some of your situation. And when you leave this place, you discover that God has worked it out while you're still sitting in church. Our Father and our God, this morning, Holy Father, we thank Thee. And in the midst of life's uncertainties, we can turn to the hills from where cometh our help. We can look to Thee, the God of heaven, the God of all power, because we believe that victory belongs solely to Thee. Holy Father, may Thou now bless this word of God. May He be edification for the soul, but may He stay your people to understand that since God is with us, who can be against us? This is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.